You've heard that time is money. Well, consider this an investment on a way to building wealth that's always right on the money. We're sitting down with local experts that all have a mind for money.
Hello and welcome to A Mind for Money with Citizens Bank. My name is Timmy Stanfer and I am your host. And today I have with me Logan Kaseya. She is the branch manager at our Muskego branch of Citizens Bank. And we're going to be talking all about savings and what it means to start a nest egg, start saving for retirement or buying a home or the other things in your life where it may be important to have money saved up. Logan, thanks for coming in today. Would you tell us a little bit about yourself and your history in banking?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. So as Timmy mentioned, my name is Logan, and I am one of the managers here at Citizens Bank. And I've been with the bank for about 7 years now. And basically what I do is I handle all of the frontline things. So whether that's running your deposit, helping you on the phone with your online banking, but also developing and training my team to be able to assist you correctly as well.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And yeah, she's done a lot of opening accounts for people and helping them through different options as far as savings, whether it's opening accounts specifically for it, like a savings or CD, like we're going to be talking about today, or maybe looking into other options with something like a financial advisor. Let's just get right into it. Start talking about the overarching idea. I need to start a nest egg. And I know that idea is a little vague and for different people might have some different definitions. So let's start from probably the most basic savings need that everyone has is saving for a rainy day, an emergency fund, saving up money so that if something happens, you know, say your car breaks down or you get a medical bill or something like that, unexpected, that you have the money available so you're not stuck without money. So what is the best way or what do you recommend to people to start saving up for a rainy day when they may need that money?
Well, like Timmy said, I mean, those situations are so unexpected that rule of thumb, you'll want to probably save up about 3 to 6 months of expenses just in case you are put out of work. You don't want to be stuck in a bind. You can do that easily by just setting up a change jar to start off with. But the key is you want those funds to be easily accessible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. So when you mention easily accessible, what specifically do you mean by that? Obviously, you hear the term liquid funds a lot. You know, that's one of the things people mention a lot when they're talking about their money is liquidity. What does that mean and what does that look like when you're saying you want your money easily accessible?
Well, easily accessible, not under your mattress accessible, but something like a savings account or, you know, a money market, something that earns interest will really benefit you because then you can earn money on those funds that are kind of sitting there waiting for that event.
Mm-hmm. And something like a money market or a savings account is instantly accessible and, yes, and liquid. You know, that's what that term is related to, is how fluid your cash can move from where it is to where it needs to be. So an emergency fund, it makes sense for that to be in a more accessible or liquid form.
Right.
You've established a savings account or a money market. You've started to build up a little bit of an emergency fund and you're starting to look at the next steps. So what would you recommend to someone who's thinking about, all right, I have my emergency fund saved up and I'm at a place where I'm comfortable with that, and I want to start looking at saving for next steps, whether it's, buying a home or starting to save for vacation. What would you recommend to those people?
So you'll want to kind of evaluate your short-term and long-term goals. Short-term, like Timmy said, purchasing a car, down payment for a house, vacation, wedding. You'll want to determine those. And then long-term goals are usually saving for retirement.
Mm-hmm. And I assume that saving for retirement has a much different savings and investment strategy than saving for vacation in six months. Yeah. So let's use the example of owning a home. That's a really good example that a lot of people our age are starting to get to that point where, they're starting to look at different homes and trying to figure out what's going to be feasible for them. How would I go about saving up for a home and what do I have to keep in mind as far as a savings strategy when I'm thinking about buying a house someday?
Sure. So when you're thinking of saving for a home, you'll want to determine a reasonable budget for yourself, you know, based on your earned income. Because typically in today's market for getting a mortgage, you need to have at least 5% down for of that total home cost.
Off the purchase price. So, you know, say it's a $200,000 home, you need a minimum of $10,000 of a down payment.
Yes. Yep.
And then whatever closing costs may be on top of that. Yeah.
Yep. So then next you'll want to kind of figure out how long it will take you to save that money. And then that will really help you determine exactly how much to save each month or each week, however you need to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, that's good advice. And I like what you've mentioned multiple times already. And I'm sure we'll keep touching on this is savings is largely about what is doable for you as well. You don't want to necessarily put yourself in a point where you are not taking care of yourself because you're saving too much.
Right.
But the nice thing about it being available in savings is it's not like that's money, that money's gone. It's not like you've spent it. So if you really do need it, it's still available for you. So let's say I'm going to cut back and save $50 a week, okay? And the goal is to save $10,000 over the next 4 years to put towards a home. What should I do with that money? Where should I put it?
So again, many different options. I typically suggest anything that's a year or longer that you'll be setting that money aside, go into a CD. CDs, you're going to earn interest, especially the longer that the money is in there, the more interest you will earn. We do offer what's called the flexible add-on CD, and I typically suggest these for people, especially if they're saving for a home or even a vacation a couple years down the road. You can actually deposit into this CD while it's still in term, and it gives you the discipline because you won't be able to withdraw those funds without penalty until it actually matures.
Yeah.
So
this would be for the more long-term savings where it maybe doesn't need to be quite as liquid. But the nice thing about the CD, like you said, is if you really do need it, you can get it. There's just a little bit of an interest earnings penalty.
Correct.
It's not like withdrawing from a retirement account where there's like a big tax penalty.
Right.
And, you know, talking about retirement accounts, so what would I do if I wanted to start thinking about putting money away for retirement, maybe something separate from what my employer offers? I want to start thinking about ideas of ways to save money independently for retirement.
Well, first, I would see what your employer does offer. If they do offer a 401k or an IRA plan, especially if they offer some sort of match, that it really is your best bet to go with. Otherwise, you can establish an IRA, which is an individual retirement account at any bank. With that, there are two different kinds that I typically work with. You have your Roth and your traditional IRA. So traditional IRAs, those contributions are tax deductible. However, when it comes time to 59 and a half, any distributions that you take from that, so withdrawals, you do have to claim as earned income.
That's taxable income.
Yes, yes. Now, with the Roth IRA, those contributions are not tax deductible, but come time when you're of retirement age, you can collect that as tax-free money.
Yeah, so it's deciding where you are in your career and if it would be more beneficial to have the tax deduction to go for a traditional IRA so you can get the tax deduction now, or if you're at a place where it makes more sense to just have it be taxed money that you're putting in so that in the future that doesn't get taxed as you retire, as you're withdrawing in your retirement. And it definitely sounds like that's something that, you know, you may want to see a financial advisor because the, you know, I know, especially with the personal bankers, there's a fine line of when it's financial advice, there's only so much financial advice you can give before you need a certified, a certified investment advisor to give that type of advice. And we, and that's the nice thing. I know that we do have investment advisors here that you can talk to and be directed to. If you want to look at, if you have more intricate questions or if you want to look at more intricate options for savings, beyond just a straightforward IRA CD. And I've heard about HSAs, you know, with a high deductible health plan. Can you explain a little bit about an HSA and what that is, how it works, and how you would qualify to get one?
Absolutely. So HSA basically stands for health savings account. I myself have one. They are wonderful. In order to have an HSA, though, you do have to have a high deductible health plan. And basically, those savings can only be used for medical expenses. But the great thing about those accounts is your contributions are also tax deductible, just like the IRA.
And a lot of employers do a little bit of, of matching towards your HSA, which is nice. And as Logan mentioned, you do have to have what's called a high deductible health plan to qualify for a health savings account. So you can't just come in and ask for a health savings account. You do have to have a specific healthcare plan with a higher deductible. That means what a deductible is the amount of money you pay in towards your expenses before you hit this threshold, the deductible amount where the insurance starts paying a much larger majority. And so it's pretty common for employers to offer a lower deductible healthcare plan and a higher deductible healthcare plan. And so you do have to have that high deductible healthcare plan, or HDHP as it gets called sometimes, to qualify for that HSA.
And if you're never sure, don't be afraid to call your insurance company and ask them what kind of plan you're in.
Yeah, they'll definitely let you know if you would qualify for an HSA or if you would not qualify for an HSA. So, rates are low right now, and I'm sure you hear that a lot. And it's great for borrowing. It's great for lending and getting mortgages, but I'm sure it's been making savings accounts and CDs a little rougher. What type of options are out there for us to maximize your earnings if you're more curious to see how much you can make rather than have the security of like just a savings account?
So I'll go back to the certificate of deposit. With CDs, typically the longer the term that you have, the more interest that you will earn, and that gets compounded and credited each month. But if you're looking for other alternatives, there are other options in the investment world, which you would sit down and talk with one of our financial advisors. But the only thing is those funds are not FDIC insured. So you'll really want to kind of balance the risk versus reward before making a final decision in that area.
Yeah. You don't want to put your rainy day fund in the stock market. But if you have extra money that you want to start investing in, and I know that's very common for a lot of retirement accounts to be diversified into stocks and different bonds because of the larger yield and the large amount of time that they will be invested for. Say you had a kid come in, a 12-year-old kid comes in and they have their money that they've started to earn, and they're curious about saving some of that money and want to start saving up for something in the future. How would you recommend that they start saving money, and what kind of options are out there for a kid who wants to start saving some money?
Great question. So, of course, the piggy bank, that's best place to always start. But what I really would recommend is, parents, it's crucial to teach your kids early the importance of savings. Because as you get older, especially once you have those kids, saving is hard. It really is. So we actually have an account here that kind of makes saving fun. And it's just for kids. It's called our Cash Club Savings Account. And basically, each time that your child comes in to make a deposit, they get a stamp on kind of like what looks like a bingo sheet. And when that sheet is filled out, they get to pick a prize, whether it's a gift card to Culver's or McDonald's, basically to really instill that good habit of savings. Mm-hmm. Now, the difference between this account and your typical custodian account is this account the child can actually access, so they can deposit and withdraw from it.
Mm-hmm. And so you just mentioned a custodial account. That's something that I know is probably the more common option that parents or grandparents or adults do for kids. And what a custodial account is you as the adult are opening it for the benefit of a minor, but you are the custodian. You're the only one who has withdrawal access on that account.
Correct.
But it's technically for the benefit of that child. So the purpose of that account is to be for that. Whereas, like you said, a cash club savings or a savings account that's geared towards the child to be able to have access to, they can actually come get their money themselves.
Correct.
If they really wanted to. And finally, like you said, savings is just hard. Saving money is hard, and it's a lot easier said than done. It's easy to talk about all this stuff, but I guess what kind of tips do you have to really start getting the ball rolling and getting people in the mindset to start saving money?
Well, I mean, keeping your goals in mind, again, going back to those short-term and long-term goals, it really helps. Some people do picture boards where you're visually looking at where you're trying to go in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
It, it helps cut out that Starbucks coffee.
Yeah, it's like the savings jug with the picture of Cancun on it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. Just keeping that end goal in mind really helps. You can also talk to your employer if you get direct deposit. Ask them to deposit like a percentage or a certain dollar amount into a secondary account, whether that's a savings or money mm-hmm. market, something that once it hits your primary account, you're not seeing what you're saving.
Yeah, so you're not thinking about how much you had and then it's
exactly.
gone. It just goes right into the account.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, and I think another thing that's really beneficial, and we talked about this with Rebecca Motley when she was on, is look at a lot of online banking, including ours, has a spending analyzer where you can see where you're spending your money. And it kind of divides it into categories so you can see how much you're getting for fast food or groceries or gas or entertainment. And, you know, if you are keeping a pretty strong budget and you're keeping track of your money, then you can start to see maybe areas you can cut out, you know, decide what's the most important to you. You know, is it more important that I do these specific things or is it more important to me to start saving up for a house? And for some people, maybe one, or for some it's the other. So like you said, a lot of this is just really deciding what is most important to you and how you want it to impact how you spend your money and how you're going to spend your money in the future.
Prioritizing and discipline. Mm-hmm. That's
yeah, absolutely. So yeah, we'll move into a few do's and don'ts here about saving money. And I will say, like you just mentioned, do make saving a priority. If it's important to you, it has to be a priority because it's easy to get lax on. And it's important to, like I just mentioned also, have it work with your budget and have a plan for how you're going to execute it. Like you mentioned before, you can just have it go directly to your savings account from your paycheck or something like that so that if you have an easily executable plan, you're much more likely to stick with it rather than you're just like, oh, I'll just throw whatever extra money I have in there every so often. So having an actual specific plan and a budget that work together will definitely make your savings more achievable.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I would say don't lose sight of what you are wanting to save for. Like you mentioned before, a dream board, a vision board, or the jug with Cancun on it. You know, realistic and make your goals visible so that you are keeping track of why you're doing this and you're not gonna, you know, relapse on your savings plan basically.
Right.
And I would say do ask a banker for recommendations on the best types of accounts, if you should maybe see a financial advisor or if you should maybe reassess some of your budget. You can always ask people for help with your budget, especially someone you trust at your financial institution. And I would say don't wait till it's too late to start saving. If you want a house in 5 years, don't wait for 5 years to start saving for the house.
No.
You know, you gotta, it does require a lot of thinking ahead. And so, yeah, just some closing thoughts. Savings is a lifetime activity. There's different parts of your life that you need to save for. You need to save for retirement. You need to save for a rainy day. You need to save for vacations you might want. You know, most of us don't have the luxury of just having all that money on hand all the time.
No.
So having a realistic savings plan, it really helps a little bit, adds up over time. And the more you stick to it, you'll be surprised with the results that you can have just by being very routine about it and not, you know, dipping into it when it's not necessary. And do you have any closing thoughts or on anything that we talked about?
Basically, kind of like what Timmy said, don't be afraid to ask your banker or even a relative of, you know, ways to save. There is no such thing as a dumb question, as what was mentioned when you were talking with Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
We are more than happy to help you. And quite frankly, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't help you get to where you're trying to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So with that, Logan, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and talking about saving and just figuring out some of these questions that I'm sure some people have. And again, this is the nice thing about this type of podcast is we can ask the questions that you may not even think to ask or you may be too embarrassed to ask. So if you have any questions, any feedback, any suggestions for different episodes or anything you'd like to tell us, you can send me an email at heytimmy@amindformoney.com. That's heytimmy@amindformoney.com. And with that, we thank you all for watching and hope you have a great rest of your day.